The human brain takes up 2% of human body weight, but uses 20% of its energy. Mine's a little less than 2% of its weight, I'm pretty sure. That's for a normal-sized gentleman.
Well, you have a large head.
Wasn't expecting that.
Large head.
Well, your head is humongous. That's a reason.
Is that how I worded it?
It could be that your brain is the cause of that. It's possible.
I merely commented on the size of your noggin.
Schnoggin.
I know your heart was in the right place.
I've got stuff that's disproportionate.
I've got stuff that's disproportionate here, too.
I know, everything's perfect.
Enormous balls.
No.
Microscopic. Too much scrotum.
I'm all scrotum. I'm like 80% scrotum.
80% scrotum. Me too. 2% balls.
Me too.
Just a massive scrotum and tiny balls.
It's like Dumbo.
Just like Dumbo.
Nutball.
What's funny? So what are we?
I have to wonder if that's
today?
Because I've been wearing boxers like all my life. Like if I had worn briefs, do you think like I'd have?
Yeah, wearing briefs removes skin from your body.
Oh, I suppose that's true.
Is it true?
What the fuck? I was trying to make fun of him.
And I was like, what point?
I didn't hear the whole conversation, so I just heard that part, and I was like, what?
No, as it turns out,
wearing briefs does not, in fact, remove skin from the body.
I thought you meant like skin flakes, like at a more rapid pace. I don't know science.
It sands your nuts down. Probably, it's probably true.
Speaking of, did anybody see what happened in the last Game of Thrones episode to Theon Greyjoy?
Oh, well, yes and no.
You don't get to see it, but
it definitely happened.
Did it happen?
Yeah.
If it does in fact happen during his time where he is that the episode and the moment when that happens?
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad.
Well, the thing is,
not a happy ending for Theon Greyjoy.
No more happy endings for Theon Greyjoy. The thing is, in the book, something happens, and the person tells him, I can't believe I can't say who the person is.
I can't remember his name either.
I know his name. They don't say it in the show. They haven't said it yet because it's kind of a spoiler.
You can't say it because it's Zaren Darren Darren Duxoff?
Zara Dora Duxoff. No, I know how to say it.
His name's Darren Duxoff.
Actually, you know what? I can say it. His name is Ramsay Snow. He's a bastard.
I see.
Not related to Jon Snow because the different bastards all share the same.
All bastards are related, okay?
All bastards share the name Snow.
No, in Westeros, like, all the bastards have a different name depending on where they were from. So, like, if you're from King's Landing, it's Waters. If you're from Dorne, it's Sands.
Interesting.
From Sacramento, it's Gonzales.
Anger. So much anger. Pain. Lots of pain.
That's, hey. That's life.
I guess, do you think, like, Theon deserved it before he did, like, Winterfell?
No! God, no!
The level of torture he's receiving is kind of...
No, it's...
It seems disproportionate considering all of the other crazy stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, he's... But, no, I don't say not undeserved.
I don't...
He killed people.
All right, but
like more than one.
Yeah. All right, but this is worse than death.
Yeah.
He's getting flayed, and then he got castrated.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. No, the flaying is in the books. The way Ramsay does it is he flays the finger, mm-hmm. and then he just leaves him there.
Yeah. That's what happened from the show, best I could tell.
Yeah, or no, he'll leave him there for days at a time.
Right.
With a flayed finger.
Yeah, that's good.
And that, he makes him chew a couple off.
That's good.
Just for funsies. He's the kind of guy Ramsay.
I like the psychological shit. You know, they let him escape, and they should have let him rape him a little bit. Before he
should have raped him. Should have let him rape him a little bit.
A little bit. There's only like maybe three of the four dudes nut. You know? and then come the arrows. You know? Just enough before he actually turns gay. You know?
Oh God. on your tier.
And starts just before he starts enjoying it. No, the worst part was the fact that he brought in the two women.
Oh, that was and he was like starting to get into it. So I'm just like,
he learned to read the room.
Just when he starts like, oh yeah, my lucky day.
And the entire time I was saying like, it's like learn to read the room, guy. Come on now.
They've actually said who this person is. They've said it. They haven't had a scene where like, okay, this person is gonna do this stuff. Yeah. They just mentioned offhand who it is, and visually it's pretty obvious.
What's the name of like Theon's father? I forget his name.
Theon's father is Balon Greyjoy.
What the hell is Balon doing about? Like, he knows his son is not coming back. Is he just gonna like leave
in the books? There? They just think he's dead.
Really? Yeah. It's like, well, he's just dead now. So yeah. Well, because like all the rest of his cohorts are dead.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Nerd Sharks spoiler cast of Game of Thrones and Ice and Fire.
Well, is this spoiler stuff?
This is also already happened.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we should introduce ourselves, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We are the Nerd Sharks, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Robert.
And with a mouthful of red vines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Patrick. And I'm burpy today.
I'm not burpy, but I am Daniel Lopez.
Awesome. What's up, Dan? What's up, Patrick? How you guys doing?
Pretty good. It's been a while, guys.
I was thinking about what we should talk about this episode. We're already talking about Game of Thrones.
We are.
So let's just keep going with that.
We might as well.
We'll keep going on spoilery Game of Thrones, then we'll move on to spoilery Iron Man 3. Since Rob here says he hasn't seen it yet.
As of right now, I think there are 3 episodes left of season 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
yet to be aired.
Is it season 2?
Season 3.
2.
Season 3.
We're on season 3.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we are.
Really?
Yeah.
First season, Ned gets killed.
Second season,
the Blackwater. Third season.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of TV lately.
I know what happens in the 9th episode, because the big thing always happens in the 9th episode of the season.
Oh,
what
boy.
Is it? In the 9th.
Something big.
It's huge.
What is it?
Oh, if you watch Frosty.
Yeah, I told you guys already. Or Dan guessed it.
Well, what did he
Third hand.
Oh.
Jamie Lannister has it.
You said it like a joke. It's like, and then Jamie known as the man with the extra stump, and I'm like.
No. He said Jamie Lannister finds out he has a third hand, and then he also finds out he just has an extra nub. It's hilarious.
He's the man with an extra stump, because now he doesn't have 3 hands, does he? He's got 2 hands, so he's a normal guy. What he does have is an extra stump.
The fact that joke
that
had to be
kind of a complicated joke.
No, it's not.
Well, I guess it depends on like where the third hand is. Like, is it like grown out of his back or his chest? Because in which case he'd be like,
Theon could be known as the man with the extra stump, not too.
I suppose that's true. Mm-hmm. Considering what happened in the last episode, it wasn't graphic, but it was like, you know, graphic in its representation, I guess.
There's this in that any stump is an extra stump.
That's true.
Yeah.
Extra stump on anything.
I think that's the underlying line.
That's the joke. That's the subtext.
Mm-hmm.
Any stump is an extra stump.
That's right. You're supposed to do the extra stump math in your head, and then when it registers, you chortle accordingly.
See, I don't do math. I choose to not do math.
In the last episode that just happened, it was episode 7, I think? Yeah, episode 7.
Eight.
It's
wait, 8?
No, yeah. It's 7. It's 7.
Wait, are they doing 12 episodes?
No, they're doing 10.
Okay, then yes, 7th episode.
It's called The Bear and the Maiden Fair.
Yeah.
And it's in reference to a song that's popular in Westeros. And at the end of the episode, they throw Brienne of Tarth into a bear pit where she fights a bear with a blunt sword. Mm-hmm. And happens in the books, it does. But I kind of don't like it because they cut out one of Jaime's most badass lines in the whole series. But while they're traveling, he passes out.
Yeah.
And he has this weird kind of prophetic dream where, like, his sister and his family don't want anything with him. And he's, like, left, like, in kind of an underworld. And he has his hand back. And him and Brienne are ready to fight off, like, all these ghosts.
Uh-huh.
And then he wakes up. And then he has this conversation with Maester Qyburn. And then he goes back. And then he hops in, right, and he does this stuff. And they get out, and that's fine. And they're riding away. And she's like, well, what'd you come back for? And he just looks at her, and he says, I dreamed of you, and then he rides on ahead of her, which it's a total pimp line. And I like it. It's a really cool line, and
maybe he'll say it in the next episode.
It
because
might.
Like they haven't like you know I mean they've left, but they don't. Like,
well, he didn't have the dream. Traveling. He didn't have the dream.
That's true.
No, but it's not like a big gripe for me. It's just kind of a nitpick. But other than that, I love it.
Yeah. It's been pretty good, and I'm really starting
to
like...
I've enjoyed this season so far. Although, what's happening to Theon Greyjoy now, it feels like it kind of came out of left field, because in the last season, it showed him, like, burning down Winterfell, right? Mm-hmm. And then him getting knocked out by his troops, and mm-hmm. them, like, carting him off, supposedly back to the Iron Islands, and then you see mm-hmm. him, he's being tortured by this dude, and it's just like, what? When did this happen? Like, eventually you kind of have to assume that his cohorts have all been slaughtered by this boy and his troops.
What happens is the dude sums it up in a line of dialogue is they give up Theon Greyjoy.
They just give him up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so they all can live.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's why they knock him out. Whenever he knocks him out after his badass Theon Greyjoy speech, they're going to remember our names on Pike.
Well, and then he just says, come on, let's go home. And then nothing.
Yep. They betray him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. Well, but I guess they don't go back to the Iron Islands, or they do, and they just don't tell.
They just say, "Oh, he got killed."
What happened? Yeah, that's killed. It.
Probably. It happens differently in the book. This dude mm-hmm. who's torturing him right now is at Winterfell, mm-hmm. and he's under disguise as like some this kind of like trashy kind of dude, and Theon, you know, he gives him advice and counsels him and stuff like that, and then when the army's out there he knocks him out. And then that's the last chapter you read of Theon for three books, because then Storm of Swords happened, he started two books, and then I will tell you this, none of the Theon chapters after that are called Theon.
What are they called?
They're called Reek.
Reek?
Yeah, because he tortures him so much that he makes him call himself Reek eventually. It's pretty fucked up.
What's happening with Theon is pretty... Well, I'm interested to see how this all will, like, end for Theon, or if it ends. I see the only way it can end for Theon now is in, like, a... Like, they, like the best ending he can hope for at this point is, like, a quick death.
which is pretty much, like... At a certain point, like for some characters, that the goal becomes to not die. Like for Arya Stark right now, her goal is, let me hope, don't get murdered. Come on, not get murdered.
No, she doesn't. She seems like she could try a little harder. Because all she does is talk shit to
anyone who has a sword.
That's true.
And is above 4 feet tall. Yeah. She talks shit to him.
You are a murderer. And a liar. And then she like runs off into the forest.
Yeah, it's
like,
and gets kidnapped.
That doesn't seem like a great idea.
I was going to say, the stuff that's happening with Theon Greyjoy and with Jaime Lannister, that is the core of what makes the series its whole thing, is because the whole series really is about identity loss, mm-hmm. and the sense of rebuilding yourself after you've lost everything.
Yeah, right.
With Jaime Lannister, loses his hand. Theon Greyjoy
loses significantly more.
Loses everything about him. You know, mm-hmm. someone like Sansa, who you know has his ideals of like fairy tales and stuff like that, just thrown into the real world. Yeah. And it's just, you know, the whole series is about these characters putting those situations and then finding out who they truly are once.
Which worries me.
Because
my new favorite character is Daenerys.
Oh, yeah.
Targaryen.
She's doing crazy stuff.
She's doing great, which is bad. Because she seems like she's on the warpath, and it's going a little too well for her right now.
And you're wondering when the other shoe's going to drop?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this can't go on. I mean, so in the last episode, she more or less declares war.
On this one city, yes.
Yeah, and she...
I mean, for the sake of all its slaves, so, you know, there's that.
Right. Well, no city is going to... You know, roll over.
The place she's in right now is called Slaver's Bay.
Right.
The whole area.
Yeah.
She was in Astapor and now she's in Yung Kai. Mm. It's all called Slaver's Bay.
Right.
And
I don't know what the fuck you're expecting.
And she did go to that area with the intention of buying a slave army, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah. Well.
Oh yeah, and what was that weird aside with that assassin? Oh, with that little assassin girl. That little like, what was up with that little girl? Was she like a warlock from the Warlock's Guild? Because I thought she had killed all of them.
Which little girl?
In the beginning, like
the scorpion in the ball.
Yeah, and like the dude, the whitehead. I forget his name. Like the former like Kingsguard.
Oh, Barristan Selmy.
Yeah, he like comes up and he stabs the little.
Oh, that was an assassin. Thing. It was an assassin.
And then she like you know opens her mouth and she's got like the stained tongue and lips. Yeah. So like the warlocks and they're like saying Warlock Guild and then she like you know just kind of like scampers off and that's like the last you ever see of like any more attempts on Daenerys Targaryen's life. Mm-hmm. Which I find kind of incredible considering all the shit she's doing down in you know Slaver's Bay.
Well, first of all, don't fuck with Barristan Selmy.
Yeah, he's a he seems like a dude who can handle himself. Although you don't like see like his fighting prowess. I mean, you like hear
about don't see his fighting prowess until actually the last book that just came out. Uh-huh. But he's a badass. He's a badass.
Seems like it.
Because he's hella old, but
I want things to go very well for Daenerys, and at this point she's got sizable army already. She's got three dragons that are starting to become a problem for people.
And, I mean, they already were kind of a problem for people, but now they're even more so.
Yeah, like they can kill people. Like they're already
formidable. They can murder.
Yeah, they're very murder.
She got these murder dragons.
Yeah, and so it can only go on for so long before, like you said, the other shoe's going to drop. Where. How well can this so if I understand Game of Thrones, she's just gonna amass an army and take over and now she's a queen? Seems a little on the nose and there's no way it's gonna happen like that, which is unfortunate because I kind of do want it to happen that way.
It might, or maybe it's so Game of Thronesy that you think there's no way that that's gonna happen. And then that's exactly
the characteristic that changes about her is that she doesn't get fucked over.
That's true. I mean, out of all the Game of Thrones characters, she is like the least getting fucked over. That her and like
Well, she kind of had to get fucked over to get to where she is. Remember that's that true. Her brother just sold her dude.
Who she ended up loving.
Keep in mind, in the book, she's like 13, 12 or 13 when this happens. Yeah. And he's just like, take her.
I mean, just fucked up.
That right there, that is kind of effed up. But in the show, she's straight as much.
16, 17, something like that.
Older.
I love the fact that they made everybody older in the books or in the show because
it's like definitely more authentic to have them be younger considering like you know it is like the Middle Ages so people had to get shit going like early on because they were dead at 30. Let's see what else. So at this point when I first saw like Daenerys Targaryen and her brother Viserys or whatever the hell his name was, I'm just like, well, these two do not look great for Westeros. But then and I was kind of like in love with the fact that they had like declared their independence from these people that were ruling over them for so many years. But now I'm seeing, you know, how the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros conduct themselves. I'm just like, dude, somebody needs to come in here and restore order because this is going downhill fast. So now I'm like sort of like, you know what, Daenerys and her dragons might be the best thing for, you know, the Seven Kingdoms at this point.
Starting to look that way, which is why it can't happen. You're right.
And everybody seems to forget about the others, too.
Oh, yeah, the White Walkers. Because at the end of the last season, you see the White Walkers and their, like, army, which is significant. Mm-hmm. Just closing in on the wall. Just thousands of, like, whites and White Walkers riding dead horses.
And then the beginning of the season, there's a black screen, a bunch of screams, and then the Night's Watch is just decimated. And that's what happens in the books.
Yeah.
The opening chapter of Storm of Swords, the third book, which is the third season, is based on this guy trying to kill Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And then the three horn blows sound, and then the White Walkers are coming, and then the next chapter that's up there is Sam's, and he's talking about how they just kind of had to leave because the White Walkers were murdering them.
Yeah. Well, I want to know what's going on with the Night's Watch at this point. Mm-hmm. Seems like they're just
I'd love to know what's going on with the White Walkers, because
the Night's Watch is actually in a pretty shitty predicament because Lord Commander Mormont's murdered.
Yes.
They're kind of all over the place.
They're kind of reduced to brigandry at this point.
Yep. Jon Snow, only competent motherfucker on the wall, is off with some wildling chick trying to get into her.
He looks like he's having a grand old time.
Oh, yeah. Too. Definitely windmills and caves of that Cave of Wonders, right?
Yeah.
I love the fact that she calls him Jon Snow.
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 Jon Snow. They've all got like crazy accents off the wall.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah. Your pretty little cock, Jon Snow. Something crazy. Tells me that she was fucking him. You know what I mean? In that cave.
Crazy.
She cave.
Yeah, she was. She's a power top.
Quite possibly. Those wildlings. They're different.
Yeah.
They're different folk.
It was odd that the dude, the leader of their army, quote unquote,
was
they just cut to the middle of the scene where he's basically teaching Jon Snow how to fuck.
Oh no,
That's just like a lieutenant.
Yeah, okay. That's Tormund Giant. That's all he does in the books. Like, he talks about how huge his cock is,
and about how he needs. What was it? She has to be slick as a seal.
Slick as a seal.
Before you ever.
Oh, God.
That's hilarious. Disgusting. Hilarious. Gotta love it. The other cool stuff that's happening, I think, is the stuff with Rob and Kat. Because
that's true.
They're
closing in on a very insignificant event in the books, as I understand it, from what I've read.
I don't think so. No.
No, they're not. Not at all.
It's sure. Just Rob's a badass, and he's doing this.
He's doing pretty well
considering the fact that
he just like killed the half of his army. Yes.
Yeah. Half his army leaves, and then he says, "Fuck it, let's go take on Tywin Lannister and Casterly Rock." Which is, I don't know, good idea.
Right.
It's a good idea / bad idea. I don't know. It's
what other choices does he have at this point? I mean, he could go back to Winterfell and rebuild it and like brace for like a Lannister attack, but that's obviously a recipe for disaster. At this point, he's only got like the one option, that is to either attack or leave Westeros altogether.
It's funnest part about reading about Robb was because it's all told from Catelyn's
perspective.
Yeah, and the funniest part about it is that it's just she sees him as her 16-year-old son, and he kind of is ruling like a 16-year-old would. You know, he's good at fighting.
Yeah,
but he's doing exceedingly well beating the Lannisters.
The rest of it, he's just like, oh, I'm so shitty at making decisions.
Everything's hard.
I had to smile when I didn't want to. It was bad for me.
Yeah, him pissing off Walder Frey is not going to end well. Just, like, not at all.
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Maybe he bitch slaps Walder Frey and tells him, hey, I'm king of the North.
No,
he could say that, yes.
You know, he's going to be a daddy.
He's
going to be a daddy.
You're going to have to try to...
What's that one chick's name? I can never remember names in Game of Thrones.
In the book...
Aside from, like, the core characters.
In the book, her name is Jean Westerling.
Jane Westerling.
And in the show, it's, like, Talisa or something like that.
Is she a field medic in the books?
She's like a nurse, and she's the daughter of like a wealthy, of like a very powerful family.
Not even powerful.
Just like a minor noble
family. She's just
hot. That's it?
That's it.
Okay, well, that's enough, apparently.
They're an older house than the Freys,
mm-hmm.
and she's hot. That's it. That's like the only reasons why he marries her. And the fun fact about her is that her name is Ona Chaplin. Her name is Ona Chaplin, and she's Charlie Chaplin's granddaughter.
What?
Yes. That makes her unspeakably hotter. For some reason.
Charlie Chaplin must have a sweet ass.
You did see quite a bit of it during that last episode.
I don't mind that at all. I don't mind that at all.
Thanks, Charlie Chaplin's ass.
All right, the last thing about Game of Thrones I want to talk about is obviously the coolest character in the show. Tywin Lannister.
Yeah, he is doing exceedingly well.
Because Tyrion this year has been reduced to kind of a little bitch.
Yeah.
He was doing really well
as Hand of the King, but he was doing significantly better.
He won the Battle of Blackwater.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, he's being put in his place pretty well.
And that's what Tywin Lannister does.
To everyone.
He kind of puts him in a place.
That scene in the show where Joffrey's trying to like tell him off and Tywin just walks up the stairs and just I need to remind you how this works.
Yeah. And he does it with Olenna Tyrell too, the Queen of Thorns. Kind of says, well, this is how it's going to go down. And that's what he does all the time. He's so feared. The song that plays at the end of the last episode is just the score. They sing the whole thing at the end of the episode, The Blackwater.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Reigns of Castamere. And it's a cool song, not because of the lyrics or anything, it's whatever, but Tywin's dad, mm-hmm. when Tywin was younger, he was a pushover. He just let debts go by. And at tables, the people would just, his lords would make fun of him. And there was a bannerman, so they're not supposed to do that. But he wouldn't care. And He's a bitch. Mm-hmm. And
Seems like a really nice guy, though.
And he does.
Most bitches can't afford to be dicks.
Yeah, but they're the most powerful house in the Westerlands, though. So mm-hmm. they kind of have to rule with authority if they're going to be in charge of this whole thing. And so once Tyros, Tywin's father, dies, he assumes power, and he's not having it anymore. So these two houses that are messing up, they're rebelling. Mm-hmm. He just eliminates them, just wipes them out
outright.
He pulls the castles down, eliminates the entire line. They're done. They're over.
Good.
And afterwards, another house starts to rise up, and he doesn't send Tywin doesn't send an army. He just sends one guy with a little lute, and he plays that song, "The Reigns of Castamere," mm-hmm. and then dude shuts the fuck up. And that's Tywin Lannister. That's
pretty cool.
And then that's how they build him up on the show. He walks up the stairs, and Joffrey knows what's up.
Right.
He pulls his quill out, and Lady Tyrell knows what's up. Yeah. You know, he's the man, and he's so cool and so fun.
He's pretty good. You know, I was watching this movie. What the hell was it? I think it was called Scoop. I think that's the movie I was watching, but he was in it, the actor. I don't know his name.
You know what else he was in? Last Action Hero.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was the hitman.
Do you guys want to know what else he was in?
What?
Ali G in the house.
What?
Yeah, he plays the antagonist in the Ali G movie, and at the end of it, Ali G makes him dance around in a leopard top and red go-go shorts.
What?
Which makes it really difficult to see him as the Tywin Lannister, but he's doing a good job.
The commanding Tywin Lannister. Yeah.
He is. He's spot on, I think.
I dig it.
Good stuff.
Good show. Good show. Good
Excellent show.
I'm digging it.
What do you think is going to happen, Dan?
Like I say, I think Daenerys is headed for peril.
Peril?
If she ever does actually declare the war that she wants, there's just no way she could win. It's too obvious.
It's too obvious.
I want it to happen. It seems like that's the way it should go.
But also, 8,000 isn't really enough to take over the entire country. She needs those dragons, so I guess she's like...
Well, she does have three dragons.
Yeah, so she is like...
Westeros is zero.
But no one's paying attention to her right now.
And she's kind of like... And it feels like she's kind of like biding her time until like the dragons are big enough.
Yeah.
And also, nobody is paying attention to her. I mean, Tywin even said as much.
Yeah, by the time she mounts some attack, or by the time someone else mounts an attack on her, she will have already... You know, conquered a few cities, I would imagine.
Oh, she's already conquered Astapor, so that's one.
Yeah.
She declared war on Yunkai.
With nothing. She went to Astapor with nothing. Some dragons.
Yep.
This is all it takes.
Quick wits.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think. Fuck. I can't. I'm tired of waiting for Joffrey to get his.
Oh yeah.
That little bitch.
I want him to. I want him to die in the season finale. I want that to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to know exactly where all this is going because, like, you want the Starks to get back together. You know
that's not going to happen though.
Well, I was thinking even if it did, like, so what?
They're nothing like they were before.
Yeah, and
they've been irrevocably changed, mm-hmm. each and every one of them.
But I mean, even if they do, then what I don't know what I would want for them after that. Once they're together, like, okay, now what? You know,
chill. Rob's king in the north.
Yeah,
and. Yeah.
That's boring, you know?
I kind of like to see them rebuild Winterfell, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen anytime soon.
I do want them to come together and just kick ass, you know? That seems like that's what I want to have happen. That would feel like resolution to me, but I don't know. So I can't really see that happening either. It's like all the... It's interesting. I don't know what to think because everything, all the directions it seems like it's heading in,
uh-huh.
you already know by now. They can't go like that, you know. Nothing is going to end the way it seems like it's going to.
When I first was reading it, the Game of Thrones book, I was like, okay, well, I know what's going to happen. This mm-hmm. Viserys dude is going to come and ride them three dragons into the, because there's this three eggs, and mm-hmm. Well, those eggs are going to hatch, and he's going to ride them dragons into Westeros. Right. I knew it. He's a dick, but you know, whatever, it's right. going to happen. And then Khal Drogo in A Pot of Gold made me never guess anything about that book ever again.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you never really know what directions like the character stories are going to take.
Unless you read spoilers.
It's
like
just
that,
super random. It's just super random. Even with spoilers, it's still like just super random. It's like, what? Okay, I guess this is happening now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, right? Because it's unpredictable. It's like the appeal of the show is it not giving you what you want, basically, out of it, you know?
Not like giving what you expected,
but in a satisfying and realistic way, too.
Or giving you, I guess, what you didn't realize you wanted.
I wouldn't say satisfying, but definitely realistic.
Why wouldn't you say satisfying?
Well, I don't know.
It's unsettling. Oh, a lot of people are in positions where it's very uncomfortable. Theon, for instance.
Oh, like, about uncomfortable? Theon? Uncomfortable?
Yeah, you can't really apply the word uncomfortable. I know, Theon. Right, it's Theon, a hellscape of unimaginable pain.
Sansa,
and unremitting torture. That's closer to
Arya.
Even Robb Stark putting this really uncomfortable, hey, I'm in charge of an entire army at, you know, 16, 17. Yeah. I'm also a king. Oops.
So for me, like, I have this, like, I have, like, these weird, like, 80s sitcom sensibilities where, like, I want things to be resolved just as they were when it started, you know?
Yeah.
Like, whatever happens has to be wrapped up right in a nice, tight little bow.
They'll have that scene in the couch at Winterfell.
Mm-hmm. Like, Zach Morris failed his test, but I'm sure he's going to...
He's
going to graduate anyway. Yeah, like, whatever happens
Kelly
to them.
Not Kelly Kapowski. What was her name? Jesse Spano had a drug addiction. Was right back in school the next week.
She's fine.
The maniac.
I was so excited.
Mr. Belding got
caught. Oh, that's what you said.
I'm so scared. There is no status quo in Westeros.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, so I think that it's hard to be satisfied by that. Mm-hmm. But it is satisfying as a whole. Do you guys, either one of you, watch Boardwalk Empire?
I do.
I don't.
I watch it a lot.
I love that show. To me...
It's a great show.
I think I like it better than Game of Thrones.
No. I wouldn't say that.
I'd say they're
comparable.
I don't know. I get more into that show than Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones has got enough going on that...
I'm actually waiting for the sister series, Parkway Empire. Park Place Empire. Wow, that joke would have worked if I didn't fuck it up.
That's right.
Yeah, Park Place Empire.
And then once you get them both, here come the hotels.
Although, I do have one complaint about that show, and I want to see more Richard Harrow. Like, he's
a beast.
Yeah, but he's like an untethered force. I mean, he's just kind of like doing his own thing. I want him to be like a part of like somebody's. I want him to be like a part of somebody's agenda because I think he works best like as a soldier. Because right now he's kind of drifting. It feels like.
Well, I think he's getting on his own path. You know, I mean, he's starting to get a taste of what he's always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like, he's starting to be, life.
He's starting to develop his own motivations.
But then he, like, dropped a bomb on it the last season, though, when he, like, walked in and killed that mansion full of gangsters.
But he did it because he couldn't leave that kid. He's starting to feel like that kid's his.
Yeah.
You know? Much, and kind of is, more so than, what's her name's? You know, his grandma.
Yeah. His grandma's dead, though.
Yeah, I guess she is.
It's, I mean,
fatal dose of heroin.
Yeah, I mean, if she got like the same dose she gave the one kid, I was so sad that kid was gonna die. It's like as soon as she started talking to him, I'm just like, oh, guy, you're
really weird,
gonna die.
That whole sequence was really weird. But I love, man.
Do you know who really else good. Has a dead grandma? Probably. Iron Man.
Why were we having a good time talking about Boardwalk Empire?
But you're right. No, Boardwalk Empire is a little obscure. I don't know that everybody is into it.
I'm really digging it though. I love. I want to see more Richard Harrell. I don't want to see more Chalky White because I want to.
Chalky's good.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
What about Nucky Woods? That's a thing, right?
No, Nucky Thompson.
Nucky Thompson is the thing.
Nucky Thompson is.
And how he handled like
he's starting to come into his own now. Yeah. After the end of the third season, he's starting to realize.
What was the main gangster? What was the gangster's name in the guy who got killed on the beach by Tenino? I forget his name.
How the fuck should I watch the show now?
That was the Jip
Rossetti.
Jip Rossetti. That guy was fucking great.
And Jip Rossetti,
that last little Joe Mazzaria. That actor, what's his name? Dominic? Something?
Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought it was Dominic. Yeah.
Dominic West?
Yeah, that. Man, I'm telling you, that show's great.
It's a good show.
I love all of the actors are great. Mm-hmm. Like
top notch.
It's really well written, well performed, well acted, well directed, well shot. Everything.
The production values on that show are indeed amazing.
I'm definitely interested in it. I have HBO Go, so I'm probably gonna, and I'm out of school now, so I'm probably gonna watch end up watching.
I would highly recommend it.
I'm going to. I need to think.
At least try the first season because like the first season I would say is great.
It's on par with anything else out there.
It is an HBO show, so yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
It is an HBO show, like, created by the guy who created The Sopranos and Martin Scorsese. So.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese did direct a pilot episode.
He did.
Yeah. He did. And he's the executive producer. It's a great show. Another great show. So real quick on HBO Go, if you haven't seen it, Eastbound and Down.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, I've watched that whole thing. That's one of the funniest shows.
I love it.
This is not an episode where we talk about Game of Thrones and Iron Man. This is our HBO episode. As a matter of fact, as the host, I can do that.
Okay.
Well, we could talk about like Iron Man at the end because I still do want to talk about Iron Man.
Eastbound and Down. If you don't know what this show is. I would have been happy. I would have been ecstatic, like loved it to death if it was just that first season, those first six episodes. Yeah. Because the way that ends,
right?
Just it's so good of an ending. Well, not happy.
I didn't watch the recaps when I watched season three recently.
Oh, have you seen it?
I've seen every episode. I just don't remember.
Well, he's bound and down. The whole show is about this down and out
Major League Baseball
pitcher, and he wasn't even that great. But
he wasn't great to begin with.
He had
one good game where he like struck out and won the World Series for his team.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then after that he was so arrogant mm-hmm. and so boisterous that he just got kicked off of every team he was in.
He's just a piece of shit.
And he's an awful, terrible, completely awful person. And so now this is like 10, 15 years later or something like that. He's kind of washed up.
Mm-hmm. And not kind of washed up. He's most definitely washed up. He's entirely washed up.
And he moves back in with his brother in their hometown. I think it's in South Carolina.
It's in Florida, I think.
Florida?
No. Nope. Yeah. South Carolina.
Shelby. It is South Carolina?
Because he goes up to...
He goes to Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach. That's what I was looking for.
But not before he goes to Mexico.
Not before he goes down to Mexico.
Oh, Mexico.
No, the whole series is, or first season is about him building up back to his to the majors,
trying to get back.
Yeah,
to the
majors, and he's like, yeah, and desperate. And the way he goes about it is just these really, really sad and pathetic.
It's not great
because he ends up back in his hometown, back to I guess the high school he went to,
where he's now a substitute teacher,
substitute PE teacher.
I remember that.
The last person you want around kids.
Oh God. two men enter, one man leaves.
Gil. I love Stevie.
He meets a bunch of people he went to high school with. First off, he meets his old high school girlfriend.
April.
The way he introduces him, he stands in the doorway facing the other way.
With his back to it. And says, this is like snickering to himself.
April.
Which he turns around all slowly like, to reveal himself. You know? Yeah. And she's just like, oh.
And it's great. And the other person he used to go to high school with is this kid he didn't know existed, this guy named Stevie, who worships him. And idolizes him so much so that he starts dressing like him. And, mm-hmm. and Stevie has a lisp. Too, which just makes it more funny.
One of the funniest things that happened in season three, in his journey to find himself, he goes to Mexico. Stevie goes with him. They go through like
season two.
In season two, they go through this big story arc about how he starts to pitch and he finds recaptures his pitch in Mexico. He remembers how to play again and he starts to get good again. And Stevie
La Flama Blanca.
And
the white flame.
And Stevie ends up with this girl Maria. They sneak back into America when they leave Mexico.
Maria, by the way, is just this huge, fat, gross-looking Mexican girl.
Yeah.
With her entire family.
Nude all the time.
Yeah.
Her titties are out all the time.
By this I mean to say is she's a Mexican.
But she looks like...
Am I wrong?
No, but she looks like, I don't know, authentic, I guess?
She looks very authentic.
Yeah.
True to form.
Yeah. Like, she's clearly...
Horrible form.
Who does he get involved with in Mexico? He gets involved with, like, this drug dealer in Mexico, yes? Or, like, the owner of, like, one of the baseball teams down in Mexico. Like, he gets involved with, like, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Something
it's
like that.
Yeah, it's the dude that had like the fake Lamborghini. It was like a Lamborghini kit car, and he would go out to his house and he shows up with a sword. Yeah, and he fucks his girlfriend. Kenny Powers' girlfriend.
Anyway. Who was played by? I want to say Not Catherine Zeta. Paz Vega. She looks like
She looks a lot like Paz Vega.
She looks a lot like Paz Vega, yeah. But it's not Paz Vega.
Yeah, she's good looking. A lot of hot Mexican chicks running around in season two.
Yeah.
So they go back with Maria
to America.
And in season three, there's a point where Stevie cheats on Maria, and he's just, like, beside himself. He's, like, riddled with guilt. He has to tell her. He tells her and she leaves. And she's gone. And he tries to get her back, and she rejects him. Then he loses. Well, and at this point, Kenny finds out that he has a baby. And Stevie's in charge of the baby. And he loses the baby because one of Kenny's rivals kidnaps him.
Why?
For no real reason, just to fuck with Kenny. They don't have any plans for him. They're not going to hurt the baby. You know, that's crazy. So Stevie, there's a point where Stevie's like, my favorite part, I think, of the whole, like, season three, is Stevie's sitting, he's just, you know, he's fucked up. And he's in the bathroom, like, looking at himself. He's just completely down and out. He looks and he finds, like, a straight razor. And it shows him, like, kind of reach for it. And then it cuts away and it goes to some other stuff. And the next time you see Stevie, he's completely shaved all the hair off his head and his eyebrows. Like, he thinks he's going to kill himself. But he, like, seriously looks at himself in the mirror. Like, and decides to shave off all his hair. So now...
Not a scratch on his head, though. Not a scratch on his head with a straight razor.
Yeah.
Commendable.
With a straight razor and no shaving cream either.
Yeah. So he does not kill himself for some unknown reason. He decides to shave his head and his eyebrows. And Kenny says, "What do you think?" He calls him something.
I can't remember.
That's where, like, the I guess, quote unquote, writing of the show. Mm-hmm. It's stupid and juvenile, but it's hilarious.
Danny McBride,
yeah.
Owns the role as Kenny Powers.
Yeah.
Oh, just completely. And there's the moments where you think, oh, he's such a scumbag and he's so awful, but he's so human and so endearing that you still root for
him.
He's
not that endearing, let's be honest here.
No, I really do believe he is, just because he has these moments, the moments where he's around the people that he really cares about,
mm-hmm.
and they let him be, you know, not Kenny Powers the superstar, just Kenny Powers the person.
He warms up to Stevie pretty well.
Yeah, and it's great, because you can tell he really cares about Stevie and April and his brother and his two kids. Right. And it's just, there's really sweet moments in the show all throughout.
There are, yeah.
Like, the most heartbreaking moment in the show comes from the end of the first season, where this sports agent has come to Kenny Powers and says, hey, I'm for the Mariners, and guess what? We want to sign you. I got you a job right now. And then she was like, yeah. And he tells April, come on, let's go. And she's going to run away with him, and they're going to go.
Yeah.
And she's got all her stuff packed, and they got all their stuff packed. And she's a little weary, though, because the last time this happened, he just bounced on her. He just took off and went off without her. And what happens is they're in the car, and they go to the gas station. She goes inside, and Kenny gets the call that the job never existed.
It's like, I wasn't even supposed to be talking to you in the first place.
Exactly. And the guy's fired, and, you know, he's shit out of luck.
Yeah.
And Kenny's thinking, well, I already said goodbye to everybody. I told everybody I'm going to go be a superstar, and yeah. I'm going to be dragging her to nowhere with me.
Yeah.
So he just pulls her luggage out, leaves it there, and drives off.
To Mexico.
To Mexico.
And you see this look on his face where it's just, like, destroyed as a human being. And
yeah.
It's so great and so endearing. I love it to death.
Yeah. I don't know. But I probably shouldn't spoil everything. If someone's listening to this and you haven't...
Spoil everything about the show.
Yeah, spoil it?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
It's an older show. It's been off the air for like...
There's going to be a fourth season.
It's not that big of a spoiler, let's be honest. It's not a comedy, so you can't really spoil it.
Yeah.
He fakes his death for no reason.
he gets his job back in the majors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just...
He's about to strike out, like, the first time he gets back into the game.
He's about to get a save and everything, come back in full form.
Two strikes.
This is the way you want to come back. And then he just leaves.
He just drops the ball in the middle of the game, walks off. Like, where the fuck are you going?
And he drives away, and he's so enthused about it that he's drinking all these beers. And then you see the car crash.
Yeah, the car that he's driving. It's weird because it shows a bend, mm-hmm. and he comes around the bend into the foreground from the background, and then he drives, like, off screen. And then you see the shot stays, and then he comes flying back in the opposite direction and goes through the fucking guardrail and off the side of the cliff. And yeah,
what? Why?
I guess all to fake his own death.
To fake his own death.
And he goes back to April's house and tells her, "I had to fake my death. The media would have been on us for the rest of our lives." And she tells him, which is the most obvious thing in the world. It's like, couldn't you have just taken me and your son with you?
To the majors, and you kept playing?
And you can tell like, that this thought, this simple idea, never occurred to him at all. And he's just like,
that would have worked.
That wouldn't have worked. I couldn't have done that. It has to be this way. And it's just, keep in mind, he has bleached blonde hair now, too.
Also, Will Ferrell.
Oh my God.
Ashley Schaefer.
Ashley Schaefer BMW. Woo!
It's Ashley Schaefer Kia now.
he's actually playing because the place that Kenny's hometown is actually Ric Flair's hometown.
Oh, really?
So the reason he reminds you of Ric Flair
is because he's playing Ric Flair.
He's playing a parody of Ric Flair.
Slaves, apparently.
You are my property. Will Ferrell is hilarious on that show. He is outstanding on that
fires
show.
A cannonball into the back of the truck.
Oh, yeah, he's really good.
Ashley Schaefer BMW. Ashley Schaefer BMW.
They kidnap Stevie and make him perform as a geisha, but yeah. They're Koreans that he's hosting. He like doesn't put this together in his head, so like they find it incredibly offensive. First of all, it's Stevie, an ugly dude.
Why Koreans?
My favorite.
Because he's a Kia dealership.
My favorite
he's bringing
line
in
that,
the Kia business partners.
My favorite line in the whole show comes from the first season where Kenny's with his stripper hooker girlfriend or whatever,
right.
And they're getting ready to go to this party that April's invited into. And Kenny's just trying to win back April at this point, and it's this real family picnic thing or whatever.
It's like barbecue.
And they're at this dry cleaner or this laundromat, and. He's trying to find something nice for this stripper hooker to wear. I can't remember what her name is. And he says, he pulls one of her dresses out and he says, "Sweetheart, I care about you, but you got clothes like a fucking dickhead." And I've never laughed so hard in my life. I've never used the line from anything with so much conviction as I do whenever I tell someone that.
You curse like a fucking dickhead.
You got clothes like a fucking dickhead. Oh, and God. It's just my absolute favorite line in that whole series. I also like, I'm not trying to be the best at exercising.
They wanted to practice and warm up.
Literally, the guy was running a marathon and he was like, "I'm not trying to be the best at exercising." It's so, I don't know, it's just so quotable and so fun.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Easily one of the funniest shows they've ever had.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's another show, I think it's done now, which is unfortunate, but I really liked it, called The Life and Times of Tim.
Oh, yeah.
I saw
a couple episodes of that. It was
an animated
weird.
Show. It's kind of in the vein of, like, Dr. Katz or, one of those other kind of poorly drawn sitcom type of cartoons.
1, 2, 3.
But, I don't know, I'm not going to get into it if you guys... I haven't really heard of it. It's just, if you get a chance, HBO Go, Life and Times of Tim, check it out. It's hilarious.
HBO usually lets their shows just kind of do whatever, and they don't cancel them. But the one show that they did cancel, which pretty, it really upset
Before
me.
Its time.
Before Its Time was, I think you know where I'm going with it, with Bored to Death.
Yeah.
Bored to Death.
Bored to Death and Hung, two shows I really enjoyed.
Bored to Death, absolutely outstanding
it
show.
Was it really had good. Jason Schwartzman,
as Zach Galifianakis, and Ted Danson, which is your... You don't need anything
covered
else.
Your bases.
You've got it all. But the three of them worked together so well. And
really
it was
well.
Always so funny. It was Jason Schwartzman he breaks up with his girlfriend because he smokes too much. She breaks up with him because he smokes too much pot.
And drinks too much.
So he becomes a private detective. In order to try to spark his mind to write his second book, which he just can't seem to find, and he kind of just abandons his writing and just becomes an unlicensed private detective,
with
all
no
based
skills.
Off the knowledge he's picked up from these detective novels he used to read as a kid. That's it. And he just goes for it, and
he brings his friends along for the ride. His friends include like Zach Galifianakis,
who's
a comic book artist, and he's like, no, he's not an artist.
He's
a
comic artist. Is he a creator?
Yeah, he created Super Ray, which is apparently a moderately successful comic book that's like only known to a large crowd in like Brooklyn or like in like those really hipstery neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And he
does make a lot of money off that and lives kind of life off a largesse of his girlfriend, and who has like two daughters and lives in like this lovely brownstone or whatever. And he's just like this self-entitled man child. It's just hilarious because he smokes a lot and he like sort of like depends on his girlfriend to do like everything for him while he's off like, you know, having fun with Jonathan. While he's off having fun with Jonathan Ames, that's the name of Jason Schwartzman's character, and I forget. And Ray is the name of Zach Galifianakis' character. And Jason Schwartzman's character, Jonathan, has like this surrogate father in Ted Danson, who's like this magazine editor slash like Jonathan's employer. Because like when Jonathan needs money, he sort of like just goes to George, and George like hands him like the odd like writing gig for his magazine.
The other relationship they have is that Jonathan is his pot dealer.
Yeah. is that how it works?
That's how he gets his pot through Jonathan.
Oh yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
I need to check it out.
It's so great. The third season ends on something you can't.
Oh God! The cliffhanger of that show is
it is the worst possible.
It's unbearable.
Do you mind if I spoil it for you?
Don't, because I want to watch it. I've been putting it off, but I'm gonna watch.
All right, it's something.
It should not have ended.
It upsets me that they end with it because it's so like, where do you go from here?
Right.
It's a startling revelation.
I'm actually going to steer us into a not comedy show because it's my favorite show of all time.
What is it?
Without a doubt, it's a.
Is it 6 Feet Under?
Six Feet Under.
Yeah, I was going to say the OC.
No, I do love me some OC, which, by the way, I was able to get. This is one of my favorite things about the OC is I got it on like a week before Mother's Day, 50% off.
Oh, wow.
At Barnes & Noble.
So many times have you bought this?
No, the third season. There's different seasons to a show.
All right, I just assumed you had them all.
No, I don't have the fourth season yet, but one day. No, so I got the third season, 50% off at Barnes & Noble because it was in the Mother's Day sale section.
Wow.
And I'll take it. You know? It's awesome. I hate the third season, but you know, I have to watch it to get to that awesome fourth and last season.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, 6 Feet Under, my true favorite show. It's amazing. It's about this family. I believe I've talked about it on the podcast
a couple billion times.
Not just like a couple times.
It's about this family, this white family. they live above and operate a mortuary, a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are about as fucked up as you have to be to be the people who live above and operate a funeral home.
Right. They're not well-adjusted people.
Yeah, in the pilot episode, the patriarch of the family who completely runs everything, he dies. And it's on Christmas, the day the oldest son is coming back from home, and you know, he sticks around for the funeral, and it says he'll stick around for a little while. But in the second episode, it turns out the father didn't leave the company to the youngest son, David, who he sent to mortuary school, and you know, David knows how to operate everything. He left it to both of his sons, so that they have to
run it together.
They have to run it together. And one doesn't want any part of the life, but the other one has dedicated himself to being this his whole life.
To being a mortician.
Yeah, and he's kind of pissed that his brother gets half of the company when he wasn't around for any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
like he runs like a food co-op in Seattle or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And
it's almost the same thing.
it's up there. It's up there. Food co-op, funeral home.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
Similar business practices, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the heart and soul of this show is it's about death, obviously.
Yeah.
And it comes from every episode. At the beginning of the episode, whoever you see in like after immediately following the opening credits, that person dies.
Mm-hmm. That person is going to
die. That person dies. Within that first little 5 minute segment, and it's always creative, and it's always sometimes it's depressing. Sometimes it's horrific. Sometimes they deserve it, but they always do die. And then, they take that episode and they prepare that funeral for him. And so in that way, it's kind of Monster of the Week-ish. Mm. But
don't you mean Kill of the Week?
Kill of the Week, Monster of the Week, same concept. But that person will kind of talk to whoever that has the leading story arc throughout that episode, and
like give them advice and whatnot.
It's kind of like, but the way the show creator Alan Ball describes it is that it's their internal monologue.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to express it in some way,
right.
And so it's like kind of like a ghost, but it's not really a ghost or anything like that. It's just them having a conversation with this presence of a dead person right there, and it's just so great. It's just like everyone's on this journey of self-discovery. and like this woman's trying to find out who the hell is she without her husband, who she's a complete
complete
mother figure. The I can't remember the name of the woman in
June Cleaver.
There we go. I was gonna say the woman from Andy Griffith.
May.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say just like yeah.
No. That was the name of the town, Mayberry.
No, Mayberry. That's right.
Aunt May was.
Was it Mabel?
It was May.
Aunt it was
May.
It.
Yeah. From Andy Griffith.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
May and Mabel.
That was a deep cut.
Yeah, and so she's just like that. She's trying to find out who she is without her husband. And, you know, the son comes back and he's trying to find out, well, shoot, now I have this responsibility. How do I fit into my family? Still, I've been gone for so long. The youngest daughter, played by Lauren Ambrose, my favorite character in the show.
She's great.
Also, she's sexy as fuck. Mm.
At that particular time, yeah, she was.
She's like 17, 18, trying to figure out who she is as a person at all,
right.
And you know, it's so great and so fun. It has one of my favorite episodes of television of all time, which is in the fourth season. It's called "That's My Dog."
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a "That's My Dog" thing. It's one of the
kids.
I don't think you guys have any intention of watching it.
Eventually, yes, but I don't care.
I started watching it a while ago, but it didn't grab me.
Yeah, one of the characters, the youngest son, David, he gets abducted, kind of.
Abducted.
Yeah, this guy, he picks up this guy off the street who needs like a can of gas, and then this guy just holds him at gunpoint and just messes with him for an entire day.
Why?
Just because he's crazy. Because
that's how crazy people do it.
He'll take him out and take him to the gas station and like, all right, well, try to get, you know, makes him give him all his money, and he just keeps driving with him. And the reason it's called "That's My Dog" is because there's the closing scene is him saying, "Oh, that's my dog right there," and he makes him drive. Keep in mind, he has a dead body in the back of the truck the whole time. They're in the dead body van, not the hearse, just it transfers him from the hospital to the
to the mortuary.
And they go, they follow this dog into the alley, and he's like, "Okay, I got your dog. You can let me go now." And he's like, "You're an idiot. My dog died when I was 10, right?" And then he like pours gasoline all over him. And he puts a gun in. I don't understand the gasoline part because he puts a gun in his mouth, right? And he says, you know, all right, well, you know, do the whole spiel, and then he just leaves.
That's it.
Yeah, but you know, you can imagine having your whole life kind of Theon Greyjoy'd, you know, and then the guy just leaves, and there's no resolution to that part. You know, it comes later on, but it just traumatizes him and destroys him.
Yeah, as a person. Apparently that's what his goal was.
Yeah, and
when any time you have gas being poured on you with a gun in your mouth,
it's like you're pretty like, sure that this is not going to end well.
Yeah. Yeah. And he prepares. He does the whole sees his life before his eyes thing and everything like that, and it's great. It's the only show I've ever seen where they kill who you assume is the main protagonist. Before the show's end, Game of Thrones does it too, kind of, but he's the main protagonist throughout the whole show, and they kill him like with three episodes left, and then the whole rest of it is about their family dealing.
The rest of the family dying.
So it's just
there's a couple other shows I'd like to talk about. One of which, we just real quick, season finale or series finale of The Office just aired.
Oh my god!
Either one of you seen?
I did not.
It's pretty good.
I thought it was a great season finale. I really it tried a little too hard to be sentimental. I think.
Yeah, it was too syrupy for me for a show that was supposed to be funny, but really done well. I think there's it didn't leave you wanting. It didn't leave me wanting for anything.
No, I felt like this, like that was one of the rare cases where like, oh, okay, well, this show is done.
Yeah,
it didn't go too long, didn't end too soon. This show was done. This show said what it needed to say.
Right.
Love that.
It did feel like everybody went into ending mode, though. Like, you know, the rapport that they had built, kind of, you know, it. They play on it, but it's everybody's super sentimental because the premise is that, you know, the whole time that The Office is being shot, it's supposed to be being shot for a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're watching is, I guess, footage that the crew gets over time. Mm-hmm. So the premise for this finale is that this documentary that they were shooting for 10 years is finally
airing. It's on TV now.
And it does air.
That's exactly how the British Office's last two episodes are. It takes place a couple months after the documentary has come on TV. And right. That's what this happens. It's a year after it's premiered on PBS.
But what happens?
Well, you get the biggest resolution, I guess, of them is that Dwight and Angela get married.
Wow.
That's their wedding. They get a traditional shrew marriage where they stand in their own graves.
Really?
They dig their own graves, which are super shallow.
Yeah, keep in mind, Dwight has been the regional manager for a whole year now.
Yeah.
And he's fired Kevin.
because he's grossly incompetent.
He invented his own number anytime he didn't want to do
or something like that.
Threvin, yeah, yeah. And he said his line was 2 and Threvin, get you home by 7, and then he was home by 4:30.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin. Yeah,
but he does end up on his feet because he opens his own bar, mm-hmm. and him and Dwight kind of patch things up. So it's.
And basically, Jim does what Guter Pranken or something like that, which are like good pranks on Dwight. Yeah. Where he just basically, for his bachelor party, takes him through all these like unexpected events. He brings him to Kevin's bar so he can have closure with Kevin, and then he takes him out to the desert to shoot a bazooka with some military dude. He apparently there's a shrewd family tradition where they kidnap the bride and bring it to a local tavern, and if the groom finds the bride, he has to buy drinks everyone. For everybody at the tavern.
Really?
But I don't think they were actually supposed to kidnap Angela, but Mose did.
well, Dwight was so okay with it that I assumed it was supposed to happen. I don't think Angela or anybody but Dwight and Mose knew that it was going to happen, but it did. Yeah. Whatever. But
that's what I'm saying. They all kind of went
the biggest.
Into
what is it called? Mode. What was is it called Gruten Prager?
Guten Pranken or something.
Guten Prager. The biggest one, though, obviously, and I love the way they handle it, is that they're preparing, you know, Jim and Dwight are having this little talk about it. He's like, I can't be your best man because apparently the best man has to be older than you.
Uh-huh.
So it has to be somebody else. I don't know who. And then Dwight turns around and Michael's there.
Yeah. He says, Michael, I can't believe you came. And Michael says,
that's what she said.
Oh, it was a good moment. It was
and,
cool.
And I love the way they handle it because they don't focus on Michael for the rest of the episode. No, they did it how Steve Carroll wanted to do it, whereas, you know, I had my ending.
Yeah.
And this is all about everybody else. And they handle it just like that.
It's good.
they have two true Michael moments where one where he says, I find it's like my children grew up and married each other. Mm-hmm. That's what every parent wants. And then the other one is the fact that he has kids now. And he has so many pictures of his, kids that he has a cell phone. He has two cell phones with two different payment plans just so he could show people all the people of his kids.
That's
and right. Pam's reasoning is he was so excited for have a family plan, which is so sweet. But yeah. I love it. I don't know. I love it.
It is. Yeah. It's really good. I think they did a great job.
Why did Michael's character leave the show?
To get married. He was getting married, and her father had, and her mother both had Alzheimer's. They were both beginning to suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's, something like that.
So he had to leave to help her take care of them?
Yeah, to be with his wife. And it was the best thing for him. So.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, it was all good. It was kind of weird between Pam and Jim. It starts to come to light that, like, Jim's almost too good for Pam.
A little, because They have this Q&A with a bunch of people who watched it. And
fans of the documentary.
They just
now, a year afterwards, they're going to film extras for the DVD release. And they do a big Q&A panel with a bunch of, like, rabid, weird fans.
The most sentimental, which actually got me to tear up a little bit, no lie.
My wife was crying.
Was Aaron, the sweet little intern. Uh-huh. The most adorable person in the history of the world.
Like the redheaded girl?
Yeah, yeah. She's an orphan. You know, uh-huh. She was adopted, and this woman comes up and says, "I'm aware you're an orphan. It's just, what would you say if your mom, you know, tried to talk to you? Like, how would you feel?" And you're like, "Cause I would hate her. I think I would hate her." And she's like, "Well, sometimes I hate her. And I just, I hate you, mom." She gives this really cute answer.
Yeah, and then I would go up to, I'd stand at my feet and go up to my room, which I would have.
Yeah, you know, it's so endearing, cute. And then she says, "Aaron."
That's very true.
And then everybody catches on, but Aaron's like, "Yeah." With Aaron, and then it finally hits her. She says, "It's
her mom."
But the minute I start like falling over, she says, "Mom,"
yeah.
And the way she sells it, I'm just like, "Ah, waterworks everywhere, feels all my."
Was that actually her mother?
It was her mother. Yeah,
wow.
And you kind of know it's her mother because the moment she shows up, because it's played by Joan Cusack.
Oh,
but. It doesn't ruin the moment at all.
Yeah, it was done pretty well, although it was a little on the nose. When she says, you know, when she asked the question, you know, would you hate your mom? You're like, oh, this is your mom. But it was what got my wife was the thing with Jim and Pam, the video. So Jim has this. This was a deal that he's been trying to put together with this sports company, get it off the ground. They sell it, and it's doing really well. And he decides to stay in Scranton to be with Pam and all that. And he sacrifices. It's a huge sacrifice for him. So she feels really guilty that he had to do that. And she's worried that she's not enough for him. And so he has the documentary crew put together, like, their greatest hits, essentially, from the entire show, and puts them on the DVD and shows it to her. And it just goes through all of their, you know, the Jim and Pam stuff. So, you know, it's pure, like, you know, tear bait, you know, the whole thing. And it worked on my wife.
They're the best TV couple ever.
Yeah.
I really do think so. Just because...
I think Marshall and the best TV couple ever.
I disagree. They're
Marge
fun. They're
Marge and Homer?
No, Marshall and Lily
from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, I don't watch.
Because they're a lot of fun, but they're not as sweet or anything like that. They seem like they have fun together, but I genuinely think Pam and Jim are soulmates and the best couple ever.
How much time we got?
We got about 15 minutes.
All right. I wanted to bring this other one. Show that only had one season and ended, and I kind of just stumbled into it. It's called Terriers.
Freaks and Geeks.
Terriers? Oh, my God. Terriers. That show was so good. I was so sorry when FX canceled it, and there was absolutely no reason for them to do that.
It seemed like, I don't know, it was a good show. I've got about, I think, halfway through the season. It's about a couple of guys that were like, they're private eyes.
Well, one of them used to be a cop before alcohol destroyed his career and his life.
And his home life.
And now he's in AA, and he has this unlicensed detective agency that he started with this former thief.
Yeah.
And who's now living with this veterinary student or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, and they just like go around like solving cases.
Yeah. the first like three or four episodes is like one story arc about this like development deal that involves
like this guy.
He's like he's like on city chairman or something like that. He's in part of the city government, I think.
It's like classic noir story, you know, like council, like city councilmen are involved in like shady business deals with real estate tycoons, and these shady deals inevitably involve murder, the murder of like a good friend of his, which gets them like on the scent, as it were, of like these underhanded dealings that are going on.
On the scent. I see what you did there.
Yeah. It's a pretty good show. Like, the characters are likable. It's well written. It's understated.
It's on FX.
It is on FX.
Cable network. Yeah.
The fact that it's called Terriers, like, they allude to the name. I haven't gotten to the part where they, I guess, name maybe the agency that comes of this, but they say, you know, we should have a name. If we're going to have a business, we should have a name. And then, you know, something that tells people that, you know, we're tenacious, we never give up. We'll never give up, you know, and they leave it at that, you know. The show is called Terriers, but that's the only
logical
thing. Yeah, that's the only thing they only, you know, you assume that if you don't know, if I said, hey, there's a show called Terriers, it's about a couple of detectives, a private eye agency, essentially.
Okay, they're called the Terriers.
But they don't call themselves that in the show, at least not this far. They never actually say that.
The worst I've ever seen, the naming part, it's kind of the most ham-fisted one, was in Army of Two, the video game, at the end of it. Because, you know, the whole game is about these two guys who get turned on by the whole corporation. But they start their own with their chick, and it's called Trans World Operations. Because it spells two, which is stupid.
I never played Army of Two, and I am very happy to have said that.
Army of Two, the first one, is a lot of fun if you have a good partner. It's a lot of fun if you have a partner.
I do not have a partner.
But the second one, I didn't like at all, and I'm not going to play that newest one.
So Terriers, very good show. First few episodes, one arc, and that's like gets you through like the pilot arc, and then after that, so far it's been, you know, what do you call it? Kill a week or whatever it is.
Like one-offs, unrelated cases.
Monster of the week.
Self-contained episodes. You know. Yeah. They're pretty good. Like they solve cases for people where there's one about this. I can't get the details right, but basically this chick is looking for a ring, her wedding ring. Her husband, she's got cancer. Mm-hmm. Her husband and her didn't get along before she had cancer. He's been seeing some chick on the side. She gave the ring. He gave
the ring to like a pot,
wedding ring to
like a pot dealer in exchange for like weed. Yes.
No, he gave it to the chick. See, he gave it to his mistress, but she got rid of it. Mm-hmm. She didn't want it.
She wanted heroin.
Yeah, she sold it, and they're like, they're tracking all the different places this ring has jumped to.
Like a Zelda quest.
Just to
find out. Trade quest.
Just to find out that the wife is the one that bought the ring and she's had it this whole time. So they've been hired to find the ring, but she wanted to figure out what the steps were so she understood whether or not she found out who his mistress was, and you know how long they've been together. She found out all this other shit. When, you know, if you hire detectives, they may not want to take on a case like that, you know, but she said, find my ring. So all this other stuff came from it and eventually led them back to her because she, so pretty cool. One episode, you know.
It's a fun show.
Yeah, pretty cool. It's on Netflix now, so check it out.
Well, we're about out of time. So what I'm going to do is tell you guys to catch up on Breaking Bad, all 4.5 seasons, so that you can watch the last half of a season with me this summer because it comes back in like July.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. Also, we want to announce this idea for the Nerd Sharks AV Club.
Is it, right? That's a thing?
Oh, is that? Yeah, it's a new thing.
It's going to be a thing, yeah.
All Daniel Lopez's idea.
So the idea is, you know, we talk about a bunch of different stuff, but, you know, we worry about spoilers and, you know, not all of us had seen something or whatever. So the idea is we all pick something, a game, a TV show,
a book, whatever.
Let's go with comics. And
that's kind of what I meant.
And then we all like agreed to get to a certain point in it, or to maybe to finish it. You know, maybe play halfway, and then the people that listen, our listeners, can do the same. They can play along, or read along, or watch along with us, and then we can all just go through what we just seen and until it's done, and then we pick something else. That way, you know, we can really get into. It's like a book club, you know.
It's like Oprah's book club. We're the Nerd Sharks book club.
Yeah.
I like the way you say it. The Nerd Sharks AV club.
AV club, yeah.
Yeah. Very, very good idea. I think we should just go with Iron Man 3 for this.
That's
next
probably
week's.
A good idea.
Because...
We've all been dying to talk about it. I have especially because there's specifically one thing I want to unpack about that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Reed's been kind of sidelined for a little while. So
due to extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, so
he has stomach liver warts.
Stomach liver warts?
Stomach liver
that
warts.
Awful.
There are warts that connect his liver and his stomach to each other.
Ugh.
No, Reed's a grown man with fucking grown folks.
Reed's a grown man with grown man problems,
yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know if problems, but he knows where his priorities are. So
that's true.
He doesn't always get to fuck around with us in a comic shop. So.
Yeah. Reed is easily the most responsible out of all of us. You know, with a wife and four kids now? Because they just had another one. Yeah.
He is
versus Dan, who just has a wife.
I have a cat.
And a cat.
That cat is very demanding.
Who just has his weed.
That's right.
And me, who has literally nothing at all in any way that relies on me at all.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, Iron Man will be the first one, and that'll be the next episode.
Yep.
So listeners, if you care to join us, bone up on Iron Man. Watch Iron Man 3. Maybe
Please
the
do.
Other two Iron Man if you haven't seen them.
Yep, next week is going to be probably our Iron Man episode.
I can't imagine there's someone listening to this who hasn't seen the Iron Man movies. But
Except for our one listener in like Ghana or wherever.
Right.
We had a listener from Ghana.
From someplace in Africa. I don't
really?
Know. Yeah. Well, all right, listeners. We will see you next time.
Next time.